Well, we are kicking off 2020. We're kicking it off with a brand new series entitled God Who. And each week we're looking at a different action that God does, because part of the way that we know God better is knowing what God has resolved to do in the new year, what resolutions God has decided that he has for himself, and how those impact us. Because when we know those actions from God's word and from his heart, we then can begin to look for them in our own life and see them unfold. It's a true story. One Sunday, Ben and Jackie Belknap noticed that an important envelope, a particular envelope containing some money, had gone missing in their home. For the past year, these diehard University of Utah football fans had been saving money to pay Ben's parents back for the season tickets that his parents had bought them. So they started kind of rummaging through the house looking for this envelope of cash. And Ben was digging through the trash when he heard his wife Jackie holler, "I found it." And so Ben felt the immediate relief that you would feel when that happens, until Jackie revealed that she had found it all right. She had found it in 1,000 tiny shreds in their paper shredder. Jackie knew immediately what had happened. Ben and Jackie, they have a 2-year-old son named Leo. And Jackie had a little Leo help her shred the junk mail and documents because he was getting such a kick out of using the shredder. And apparently, little Leo was getting such a kick out of using the shredder that when his parents weren't looking, he fed the shredder all the paper money that he had found in the envelope that was thereby nearby. All $1,060 of it ended up being shredded. The parents, of course, were devastated, until someone told them about something called the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. You might not know this, but there's an entire division that is devoted to, quote-unquote, renewing burned, rodent-chewed, or deteriorated money as a free service to the public. It handles 30,000 claims a year, renewing more than $30 million in mutilated cash each year. And so Ben contacted the Department of Treasury, who told him that he needed to send the remains of the money to Washington in Ziploc bags. And in the meantime, he said in his interview that little Leo won't be allowed near the shredder anytime soon. So the God Who, we're looking at the God Who each week. We're looking at actions that God is committed to do in our life. This week, we're going to look at the God Who renews us. Let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who not only creates us, not only blesses us, but then whenever we have times where we need fresh strength, fresh hope, fresh confidence, that you come to renew us. So God, would you renew us now as we come to your word? Would you speak to us by your word, through your spirit, in a way that there is fresh energy in us for knowing you and what you want to do in our life? God, we thank you that you're the God who is not distant, but you've come to be near. And not just be near, but you're the God who comes to renew us. Renew us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, flip it open to the center section. You'll see the teaching notes there, as well as the scripture passages that we will dig into. If you're catching this on our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app, you can find the notes there on the website as well. So we know God in part through God's actions. His actions reveal to us who he is. As Jesus says, you know a tree by its fruit. So one of the actions that God has resolved or committed himself to do for us is that he is committed to renewing you as you seek him. Sometimes I would say that we can feel shredded by life. We feel like an envelope of mutilated cash. We're valuable, but we don't feel so valuable in that moment of time. And of course, we all know that bad circumstances can make us feel this way, right? But what's interesting, as I've kind of reflected on my own life, it's not just bad circumstances that can make us feel a little exhausted and weary. Even good circumstances can do the exact same thing. Maybe you're in business and you get the account you were hoping to get, you get the client you were hoping to get, you are out of work, you get the job, you get into the school you wanted to get into, but now you have a ton to do because of the good news that just came your way, and that can leave you kind of all of that activity, a little, all that newness, a little weary, a little exhausted. I mean, it's good that it's occurring, but it also means that you need some renewal. You pray to have a child, maybe, and now you have one, and it's amazing, and it's also exhausting because those little sinnerlings, they don't sleep on your schedule. God created us with these limitations, and I believe that part of the reason God created us with limitations is those limitations are kind of an invitation for us to come back to Him as our Creator, come back to Him and seek out this God who wants to renew us. So if God wants to renew us, how practically does that actually tangibly happen in our life? Well, there's four different ways that God is committed to renewing us. The first is this, is that God renews us with rhythms of rest. In Genesis, God creates us in His image. As we saw last week, He blessed us to be fruitful. Fruitful in our relationships, fruitful in our work, fruitful in our relationship with Him. He did all of this. He created us on day six of the creation story in Genesis. But then on day seven, He set it aside as a day of rest. We pick up the story in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all of His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when He rested from all of His work of creation." Now, according to Genesis, work is a good thing. It's part of God's design for us. In fact, when work is enjoyable, right, before the fall, work was enjoyable. It provides us a sense of purpose, and we actually get to reflect the image of God as we become creators in a more limited way than God created. So prior to sin entering the world, work wasn't filled with frustration. It was only joyful fruitfulness. So work is good, but workaholism is not. Workaholism doesn't lead to this blessed life, this effective, abundant life that God has created us to live. And it's interesting to me that humankind was created on day six of creation. So that means then by the time we get to day seven was blessed, which that word means to confer abundant or effective life on something. Day seven was blessed and declared holy because it was the day when God rested from all of His work of creation. So think about this for a moment. That means that our first full day on planet Earth was a day of rest. That means God wants to start our life from a position of rest. This blessed life that God wants us to have begins first with blessed rest. We get this so backwards. In our culture, we say things like, "Well, I'm working for the weekends." In God's rhythm of life, we don't work for rest, we work from rest. Now, you might think, "Well, Tom, that's a nice phrase that you did there," but really, at the end of the day, it's just kind of prepositional semantics that you're doing. It really doesn't matter if you begin with rest or you end with rest, but actually it does, because study after study shows that we live differently, work differently, relate differently if we are starting from a position of renewal and rest. If you want God's renewal in your life, you must live by God's renewing rhythm by taking a day of rest each week. Now, because I work, obviously, on Sundays, my day off, my Sabbath day, is on Monday. So I don't do any email on that day. I do no work, no social media. My motto for my Sabbath day is pray and play. Pray and play. That's all I do on my day off. So I spend extra time with God in prayer. I spend a lot of time doing something that's fun to me, whatever that might be to you. For me, it's hiking or mountain biking, getting out in nature. I set aside extra time to have a leisurely time in worship and joy. Another friend of mine who's a pastor, he once told me how he learned God's plan on this. He said this, he said, "When I started as a pastor, I was working 7 days a week. And eventually a member of the church that I was serving at the time, an older gentleman, said, 'Why do you work every day?' And I thought I was being witty, so I replied, 'Well, the devil doesn't take a day off.' And the man responded back to him, 'You're a pastor. Why is the devil your role model?'" for those of you who are followers of Jesus, you're a Christian. Why is the devil your role model? Jesus modeled a rhythm to life. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments is this from Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. Well, I teach on this, invariably, somebody will come, well, Tom, you know, that might work for you pastors, but in the real world, as if pastors don't live in the real world, my boss won't let me take a day off. And usually I say, well, have you talked to your boss about this, explained your convictions, and explained why? And invariably, none of them have. They're all convinced that their boss won't allow that. Here's a little secret about your boss. I know because I'm a boss as well. Your boss probably doesn't want to work 7 days a week either. Just a little insider tip on that. One person said this to me, Tom, you don't know. My boss is a maniac. I am forced to work 7 days a week, 90 hours a week. And here's my advice if you're in that situation. Get your resume together and find a different boss then. Because in your life, you will either let your boss or your God determine your boundaries. And by the way, here's another little great secret that's known by every single boss that I've ever met on planet Earth. If you are a great employee, your boss will want to keep you, even if that means giving you a day off a week. And so if you go and say, I'd really like to have a day off a week, and they're like, there's no way that's going to happen, that might mean something about what they think about whether or not they care if you walk out the door. God not only created a day of rest each week, but he also created a night for rest. And I want to encourage you to not only find the weekly rhythm of God's renewing rhythm, but also the daily rhythm, which includes nighttime, to get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. I once had a guy tell me, he's not part of the church anymore, he moved and went somewhere else, so this isn't the person next to you, but he came and he wanted to see me for a pastoral appointment, and as we were talking, getting to know each other a little bit, he told me, I said, how you doing? He said, well, I only got 4 hours of sleep last night. I said, oh, you must be exhausted. And he kind of proudly said, no, 4 hours of sleep a night, that's all I need, that's all I ever get. And then we went on to have the pastoral appointment where he shared and confessed to me that he's angry all the time in life. To which I said to him, I would be too if I only got 4 hours of sleep every night of the week. Like if that was my normal rhythm. And he was like, that's what you have for me? Yeah, that's what I have for you. He wanted something more spiritual because he wasn't connecting that God has created you as one person. Your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your will, you're created together as one person. If you think you can do anything you want with your body and it'll have no impact whatsoever on your soul, then you don't actually believe what the Bible teaches. You actually believe what the Greek Gnostics teach. Instead, what the Bible says is actually that we have a physical body and what we do with that body matters. In fact, Psalm 127:2 says this, in vain you rise early and stay up late toiling for food to eat, for God grants sleep to those that he loves. Now, some of you, if all you ever do is sleep and play video games, that verse is not for you. But for those of you who are workaholics, that verse is going to set you free. God renews us by giving us time off every day and a special day every week. And by the way, I don't have time to go into this, but if you get paid time off each year for vacation, take it off. Half of all Americans do not use your paid vacation time each year. That says something about us. Oh, my company can't make it. Oh, this church can't make it if I go on vacation. I've been on vacation. The church does better when I'm not here. That might be true of your company, your school. It might be true of your relationships as well. So you want to get into God's rhythm of renewing rest. The second thing is this, is God renews us by time with God. Renewal goes much deeper, the renewal God wants to give you, than just time off. It's not just time off, it's also time with. Some people will take a day off, they'll get 8 hours of sleep, but they don't have a sense of renewed hope and renewed confidence and renewed faith. Why is that? Because what you do with your time off matters. If you binge watch Netflix and Disney Plus and scroll through socials all day, you will not feel renewed, even though you maybe didn't do any work that day. You see, it's not just time off, but it's time with God that renews our strength. In the Bible, David experienced that exact reality. David and his men had been away from their town for 3 days, and we pick up the story there in 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, verse 1. It says this: 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. So they come back to their towns, burned to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those who were captured. David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk about stoning him, which was a form of killing him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it to him. And then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." David shows up to his hometown. It's burned to the ground, but all the people are missing. David certainly in that moment, he felt shredded, only this time it wasn't like he was just coming across a bag of cash that could be renewed by the Department of Treasury. This was kind of the emotional shredding, the physical, the worry, the spiritual, heart, mind, and soul. His circumstances could not be worse. In fact, that word circumstance, circum means around, stance means to stand. Let me ask you, what is standing around your life these days? For some of you, as you step into 2020, the circumstances of your life are bright and shining. You're in a great season of growth and celebration and goodness. Others of you, probably many of us, would have mixed circumstances. Some of us, it maybe seems like the only thing that is standing around in our life right now is bad news that is followed by worse news. That's David's situation. Bad news followed by worse news. And to top it off, David's men, his community, they're not kind of saying, "Hey, listen, we're going to rally, we're going to support you." No, they're talking about making it worse. They want to kill him. And one little sentence in the story begins to turn the tide on everything that follows. It says this: "But David found strength in the Lord his God." David withdrew. He retreated, as it were, to spend time with God right in the midst of the weariness, right in the midst of the horrible circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says it this way: "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Why? "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." God wants to renew you day by day. All of your circumstances might be standing around you, but what matters more in life is who is standing with you. And you will either place your eyes on all of the circumstances standing around you, or you will place your eyes on the one who's promised to stand with you. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says it this way: "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The Hebrew word for renew is hadash. Hadash is the Hebrew word. And the word, it carries a sense of repairing something or rebuilding something. One of my new kind of favorite shows, I think it just came out, to watch on Netflix is called The Repair Shop. And it's a British television show where each episode follows the craftspeople who renew family heirlooms that are brought to them that have maybe seen better days. And so they're kind of ragged and in disrepair, and they need some repair. So whether it's an old clock or maybe it's a teddy bear that has been beaten up and the stuffing's been pulled out of it, it can be repaired, it can be rebuilt, it can be hadashed. But here's the key: to be hadashed, to be renewed, repaired, rebuilt, it has to have some time with the master craftsman. It has to have some time with the master craftsman. We keep coming back time and time again to God to have our strength renewed, to have our insides, as it were, our emotional, spiritual insides, repaired and restored and rebuilt day by day. Retreats. It's one of the reasons why we do retreats in this church every year, to offer you a special time to get away, to be renewed, to have a special time with the master craftsman of your life. And so, women as well as men, I want to encourage you, if you call this church home, I want you to go on one of the retreats. I want you to set aside any excuses and say, no, I'm going to figure out a way to make it work. There's 2 weekends for both retreats. Maybe you're busy one, but you hopefully are not busy both. And if you're busy both, you might need to recalibrate some of your plans to make time to get away and be with God. I think about all the things that are different in my life as a result of retreats, all the things that are different in the life of this church as a result of retreats that I've been on. Fusion, our young adult ministry, would not exist had I not gotten away on a retreat. We would not have the 11:15 North service had we not gotten away on a retreat. We would not have the 9 a.m. service, North service, had we not gotten away on a retreat. We would not have church plants in the city had we not gotten away on a retreat. We wouldn't have as many life groups as we did, because that's where God really convicted us that we needed to have even more life groups, and that happened on a retreat. We wouldn't have paid off the medical debt that we just paid off had we not gotten away on a retreat. I don't know what part of your future is contingent upon you getting away and being renewed and letting God speak to you. But I do know that God wants to meet you. He wants you to have some time, extended time, to be rebuilt, to be restored, to be strengthened. Usually, when I'm most overwhelmed in life, most anxious in life, most worried in life, it's because I get ahead of God and I forget His capacity to renew my strength. You know, if someone said to me, Tom, you know, could you lift 20,000 pounds? My question back would be, how long do I have to do it? Because I can't do it all at once. But if you give me enough time with enough reps over enough days, I'll be able to do it. You know what we tend to do? We tend to condense all of the worries of life down as if they're all upon us right now. And then we feel overwhelmed, and we feel like we don't have any strength, because we forget that actually all those things that we have collapsed into this moment, we forget to account for God's renewing strength each time we meet with Him. The psalmist says it this way in chapter 18, verse 29, in your strength, God, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. Like David knew, time given to renewed strength from time with God is never wasted. The third thing we see about how God wants to renew us is this. God renews us when we obey His word. God renews us with time off and then time with, but then there comes a time to obey God's word. David is aware of the news, and it's not good, but he refuses to let the news of his circumstances have the last words. Our minds can get kind of bogged down with worry and false teaching and the teachings of this culture. And let me tell you, Christian Assembly, that if you plan to spend this year marinating 2 hours a day on the national headlines of our news agencies, and only 2 minutes a day reading God's word, you are going to have a lot of anxiety and problems in 2020. If you want to have your mind renewed, your confidence renewed, your hope renewed, you have to go beyond the headline to the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. God's word is going to outlast every other word that has ever been printed, blogged, read, said, or shouted. Jesus said it this way, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So to be a Christian then means that God's word gets the first word, the last word, the highest word of greatest authority in our lives. Here's what that means. We don't look at God's word through the lens of our circumstances. We look at our circumstances through the lens of God's word. You hear the headlines through the bottom line of God's word. That's what David does. Okay, God, it looks pretty bad. The town is burned to the ground. Everyone's gone. They must have been captured. We don't even know where they went. My soldiers are talking of killing me. Those are the headlines. Those are the circumstances standing around my life right now. But then he asks God to speak. He asks God, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? Notice he doesn't take any action before he goes and spends time with God listening to him. And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. I love how our youth pastors say it. We have some of the best youth pastors in the world. I love how our youth, yeah, we can applaud them. They're doing amazing stuff. I love how our youth pastors say this, private before public. Private before public. That's what David does. He gets alone with God in private. Private time with God before he does any public action. God, I need you to speak to me. C.S. Lewis said it this way, a person can't always be defending the truth. There must be time to be fed by it. Are you feeding on God's word? And David, notice he doesn't just hear the word, he obeys it. Ephesians says it this way in chapter 4, verse 21 and on. It says, surely you heard of him and you were taught in him in keeping with the truth that is Jesus. Put off your former way of life. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And here it is, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If you and I will commit in 2020 to obey God's word over every other opinion this year, it will absolutely renew and revive every part of your life. Your home, your marriage, your dating life, your businesses, your schools, your church, your city will be renewed to the degree that you make this year about the authority of God's word in your life over and above every other word that you're going to read or hear about. More than any blog, more than any news feed, more than Reddit, more than TikTok, more than Facebook, Instagram, ESPN, or Pinterest. God's word renews the spirit of your mind no matter what circumstances you might be facing. He did it for David, whenever David sought him in the worst of circumstances, and he will do it for you and me as well as we seek him in our circumstances too. Brings us to the fourth and final way that God wants to renew us. God renews us with the joy of salvation. David receives the word from God that David will recover everything that had been taken from him. And with this renewed confidence, this renewed hope, this renewed faith, this renewed strength, David and his men track down the enemies who had captured their families, and their families are saved from being lost to being found and rescued. That is salvation. Later in his life, under different circumstances, David prays, asking God in Psalm 51, verse 12. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Any true salvation story is a story of joy. But with any other relationship, like any relationship, we have to renew our joy with God. Think of it this way. My wife's name is Allison, and sometimes I need to just talk to Allison, not about the business and details of life. Who's getting the kids, taking them to practice, who's paying that bill, who's writing the check to the utilities. Sometimes I have to simply press pause to think about and tell her how amazed I am at the wonder of who she is. She is a true delight. She is funny and compassionate. She is a woman of deep faith. That is true of any relationship you have. Think about a close friend. That close friend will not remain as a close friend if you don't take periodic times to simply marvel at the joy of the relationship you have with that close friend. And it's not with God just the joy of a relationship. It is the joy of salvation. God didn't have to have a plan of salvation. He could have given up on me. He could have given up on us, but he didn't, and he doesn't. He could have said that the cost to save me was too high, that he didn't want to go on a rescue mission, and he didn't want Jesus to have to come to do that, to seek and save me, to die for me, and for you too. And Jesus, by the way, could have said, the scriptures are clear, he did it freely. He could have said, no thanks, not interested in that rescue mission. But instead, whenever he knew that my life had been burned down and I had been captured and carried away, he knew that he was the only one that could come and save me. Instead, he willingly and lovingly chose to come for this very purpose, salvation. Salvation not for himself, but to create it for me and to create it for you too. And we enter into it by faith in him. And the Holy Spirit could have said, I don't want to be poured out on them. Jesus, whenever you ascend back to the Father, I don't want to be poured out on them. I don't want the work of maturing each of them in Christ. I don't want the work of filling them with the fruit of my presence. I don't want the work of pouring out my gifts on them. But he didn't say that. Forever, if you are in Christ, you get to be part of a new community that God is gathering from every tribe, tongue, and nation. How amazing is that? According to God's word, those in Christ are going to live on a renewed earth and a renewed heaven. Revelation 21:5 says it this way. He who is seated on the throne says, look, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I mean, I can't even imagine what the renewed heaven and renewed earth is going to be like, because I think creation and sunsets and sunrises are awe-inspiring now. What's it going to be like whenever creation is no longer under the curse of the fall, when it's completely renewed? What are you going to be like? How are our relationships going to be different? It's going to be amazing, and we can't even imagine it. And for each of us in Christ, he will give us a new name, and we will sing new songs. And the righteous, according to Scripture, they're going to shine like stars, we're told. Salvation is amazing, and God's plan is good. And because of that, we can have joy. And as we enter into 2020, my prayer for us as a church community is that God would renew us, that he would renew us and renew his people in the joy of your salvation, God. Let's pray. Worship pastors can come on up on both sides. Let me just ask you this one question. Where do you need to be renewed? Where are you asking God? Maybe it's great circumstances, but they've been so great, you've been running crazy, and you're a little exhausted. You need to be renewed. Maybe it's challenging circumstances. Where do you need to be renewed? Just say, God, I need your renewing in my life. But don't just pray a prayer that says, God, would you renew me? Now that you've heard God's rhythm, his way of renewing you, ask him to give you the wisdom and discipline to choose those rhythms this year. Maybe if you're not taking a day off a week, you need to say, God, I need to be renewed by time off. Give me the courage, the faith, the discipline to do it. And don't just take time off. Take time with God every day, each morning. Spend time with him throughout your day as well. Before you go to sleep at night, before you lay your head down, thank God for his goodness. And not only renewed by time off or time with, but be renewed by time to obey God's word. The whole point of spending time with God is when he speaks to you that you'll actually obey what he says. Because that's where fresh life comes. That's where new circumstances arise as you move forward by faith, trusting God's goodness. And not only renewed by obeying God's word, but be renewed by time for celebrating the joy of salvation. In fact, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that right now. Maybe you've never celebrated the joy of salvation because you've never said yes to Jesus. And you can join the 704 others who said yes to Jesus in a fresh way. This could be your time for you to say yes in a fresh way. You were created for a relationship with God, and yet there is an enemy that entered into the story and captured you, captured me, by our sin, by our own free will to participate in his evil plan. And that brought us separation from God, and God didn't give up on us. He sent his son to come on a rescue mission to save us. But we have to begin by saying, I believe you're good, Jesus, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to place my faith and hope in you. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, and I can't save myself. Save me, Jesus. The scriptures say all who repent of their sin and call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It also says there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. It's in Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone. And so for all of you who might be saying yes for the first time, or maybe you need to renew your faith and say again, God, as we begin 2020, I renew my faith by saying yes to you. May you hear God's deep love and his renewing strength be made available to you this year. In Jesus' name, amen.